This is File 27, Cycle 4. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is October 29th, 2019. I am interviewing Sue Kerber, who is going to talk primarily about the women's support services as well as other town activities in which she's participated. But first, we're going to start with, what is your name?
My name is Sue Kerber.
And how did you come to the area?
Well, my husband and I have both spent some time in New England. His parents had a cottage in New Hampshire when he was a child, and he would go there from Philadelphia. And I had spent time with friends in New England, and we wanted to move to New England. And we had friends who moved here, and we stayed with them and fell in love with the area.
That's a good thing to do.
Yes, and so we borrowed the money and came here.
And when did you come here? What year?
We came here in 1982.
Okay. What is your educational background?
I have a BA, and then I got an MSW, a Master's in Social Work, from the University of Pennsylvania. And
when?
1978.
Okay. And after moving to the area, how did you learn about the women's support services?
Well, near the end of social work school, so I'd say it was 1978, there were some early writings on domestic violence. And one book I remember was by a British woman named Erin Pizzey.
Again?
Erin Pizzey.
And how do you spell it?
I think it's P-I-Z-Z-E-Y. And she wrote a book called Scream Quietly or the Neighbors Will Hear. And I think it was shocking to a lot of people.
It very well could be.
Yes. And I remember that book having an impact on me. And I had grown up with some domestic violence in my own family. And it was one of the first times that I ever saw any writing about it.
Yeah.
Print.
Okay, alrighty.
And so when I came here, there was an advertisement, I believe it was 1983, that Women's Emergency Services, as it was called then, was looking for someone to coordinate volunteers and do some public education. And so I met with the women who had started the organization just by gathering volunteers and doing a training.
Who were the women that you think were the founders?
Donna Hoskins is definitely one of them. She's from Sharon. Joy Martorell.
Okay, how do you spell that?
M-O-R-T-O-R-E-L-L. And then also a woman from Millerton was very involved in, Lynn Barrett. They had also been involved in starting the Cornwall Child Center, the daycare center, nursery school there. And then they moved on to starting WES. So they had a group of volunteers that were trained and taking calls, but there was no one to coordinate it other than them.
And that's what you did?
Yes. So I did that and started trying to do public education.
And you must have gone to work about 83 with them?
Yes.
Okay. And you had a fancy title, I'm sure.
At first I was just called volunteer coordinator, and then I became director.
And specifically, what did you do as a coordinator?
Well, my responsibilities were to make the schedule of the volunteers, find people to cover all the shifts of the phone, answering the phone calls, and to educate, to train the volunteers, and then also to do as much education in the community as I could. Some of that was at the hospital, like with nurses and doctors, but in the community, if I could get to a Rotary meeting or any other kind of organization that would be willing to listen to me.
Women's organizations at churches and things like that?
I remember speaking to the garden club.
Okay, all right, that would do it.
Some churches. I remember Terry Ryan, who was a fairly new reverend in Sharon at the time, was very, very helpful. Really, any kind of community organization that would have speakers in, I would try to get in.
What was the area that you were dealing with? It wasn't just Salisbury. It was Sharon and Salisbury.
Kent.
Region 1?
Yes, it was Region 1, same as the school district.
And the hotline, was that a 24-hour hotline?
Yes.
That's hard to get volunteers for.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
I remember taking night shifts.
Oof.
Just don't sleep really well when you're waiting for the phone to possibly ring and that you want to sound coherent when you answer it.
It helps. It helps. And you said that if someone needed a place to stay, you had a couple of venues locally.
Yes. We, at first, there were a couple of motels. There was an old Sharon Motor Lodge that sometimes we could put women up in. And then really small motel just outside of Amenia on the road to Sharon. And I don't remember the name of it. They were very good about if we called. We would, pay a reduced... They'd let us pay a reduced rate and put a woman up for a night. And then the Susan B. Anthony... the Grace Smith House opened first, and that was in Poughkeepsie. And that was in... That had opened, actually, in 1981. But we worked out something with them that after we had a woman for a night or two in a motel, that if they had room, we could transport women down to there. And then after that, the second shelter to open around here was the Susan B. Anthony Shelter in Torrington. And then we could transport women to there. We would also go to court dates with women as advocates.
How did you get your funding?
We did a lot of bake sales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
They had written, the women who started had written a grant and had a small grant to hire me. And then...
Was it a state grant or a community?
I believe it was a state grant.
Okay.
At first. And then, we had a huge tag sale every year. And then we did bake sales.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Oh, sure.
And, the annual letter, the fundraising letters.
Yeah.
And then there was... say a few years later, we started getting some more funding as the issue became more known more communities were beginning to realize that it was a real issue.
Oh, yes. And
some more funding.
When did Trade Secrets start?
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago.
That was not when I was...
Oh, no. That's fairly recently, but I don't... 10 years?
More than that. 15? I'm guessing 15.
Yeah, I was thinking about 15 because that's a major fundraiser.
Oh, it's incredible. It's opened up so many new, allowed the organization to have so many new programs.
Good.
They're really in the schools a lot now.
Oh, yeah, good. They should be. They should be. Oh, absolutely.
The earlier we can educate young people about this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The better.
There's some programs that are done through the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau on that. You do have a board.
Yes.
And
board.
How many were on the board when you were working there?
I believe it was 12. In the beginning, we were really struggling financially.
Oh, sure.
Early on. I remember years of when we were thinking, oh, I don't know if we have enough money to pay our electric bill. We thought, oh, we should just give up and hand it over to Torrington or to Poughkeepsie or whatever. But
no.
Those pl- places are so far from here for women to...
Yes, they are.
And it's hard enough for women to call in this little local area. Yeah. But to think about their children are going to have to go to Poughkeepsie, change schools.
It's too much.
It's very disruptive.
It's too much. Very disruptive.
So we hung in there, and then, we got... It just became more well-known, and we started getting more community support, just private, people donating.
Oh, sure, but, you start something like that, and people see a need, and they're going to contribute.
Right.
And they're going to spread the word.
Yeah.
So it feeds on itself, but it explains itself, too.
Yeah, I think initially it was mainly women donating money early on.
Probably.
When there was more education, it became... Then more in the public domain general than, we would see a lot more donations from people across the community, so that was good.
How long did you work there?
I only worked there a couple of years because I had really young children.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kept having trouble with childcare. And also, the education part was difficult with my kids being so young because it was in the evening usually.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's
hard.
Yeah. And, if my husband got an emergency...
Oh, yeah.
What was he going to do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. So
But then I think I was president of the board right after I left the organization. But I definitely was president of the board for a number of years. And then I stayed on the board for a long time. Remember, Pam Boynton was one of the people who was on the board for a long time, too.
How many years do you think you were on the board?
10, maybe?
That's about right.
Probably.
That's about right.
Probably about 10.
It's a private nonprofit at this point.
Yes.
What other services besides shelter did you offer? Legal, medical?
Yes. We would, if there was anyone who came to the emergency room, we're trying to get them used to calling us to have an advocate there with a woman, like if there was going to be any kind of maybe like a medical rape evaluation anything like that.
Yeah.
Then the legal part, many times women were afraid, really afraid to go to court because often it was the first time they were going to see their abuser after they left. And many times children had to be involved in that.
It's difficult. It's difficult today when people are more aware of it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
Am I doing the right thing? Do I want to do the right thing? Is there going to be a backlash?
How am I going to survive financially is really a big issue.
Because
a lot of these women... I don't know if this is still true today, but back then the most common time for women to begin to be battered was when they were pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Didn't want children.
That the husbands wouldn't want any attention on
the
woman and her pregnancy versus the husband.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was a lot of... so often by the time those women... would get brave enough to leave, they'd have young children. And how were they going to survive financially leaving with,
because at that point,
just the clothes
women
on their back.
Weren't as much in the workforce as they are now.
Definitely. Definitely not.
Many of the women, I'm going to say of my age, never worked outside the home.
Right.
And had no training.
Right.
What could I do? Well, I could scrub floors.
Right.
And that would be about it. In their head. So it has changed over the years to some extent.
Right.
But it's still a major, major area of need.
And in this community, even with... There's much better daycare here now. But... say a woman's a teacher in the school system, that's your salary, daycare is not inexpensive.
Oh, I know.
How can you afford a place to rent around here on your own income and pay for child care and for food and everything else?
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't. I was frankly, I was appalled when I found out how much daycare was now, because I've done many interviews on the daycare center, and I asked.
Yeah.
I was horrified. But I never, you know, I never had children, so I didn't, that was not something that I knew about.
Right.
I've learned a lot doing these interviews, I'll tell you. And it's to the good.
Yeah.
It's to the good.
Yeah, it's very expensive, so...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know women even now who say, who don't have high-paying jobs, they like the work, though, but if they go back, they're working for paying for the daycare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and have very little over that.
Right, right.
So is it worth going back to work?
And it's really hard if the kid gets sick.
Right, what do you do?
Or if mother has to have an emergency of some sort, it's really difficult.
Or there's a snow day and you work in the hospital and you have to be there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Or anywhere else you're needed.
Yeah. Take the child to work day.
Yeah. So it's still difficult, but it was
way
more difficult back then.
When you were raising public awareness, were you talking mostly to women? Or was it a mixed group?
No, I would say not. And because... a lot of the organizations, let me see, it was here, it was the Rotary, the Kiwanis, was the Chambers of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
There were some women involved then, not nearly as many as now. There just were a lot of men in those
situations. Most of the organizations were.
Lions Club.
Yeah.
You know,
Kiwanis Lions Rotary.
Yeah.
Women weren't involved in those at that time.
They weren't invited.
I know.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What were some of the types of abuses that you dealt with, other than the physical and the financial?
Well, a lot of psychological abuse first, usually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Keeping women separated from their families and friends, the abusers always wanting to know where they are and controlling actions. And often that was happening before
mm-hmm.
physical abuse would start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was easier to say, oh, he's just in a bad mood or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you can blow it off really easy.
Yeah, he's controlling guy, but other than that, you know, he's nice. And lots of times abusers can be just lovely people, social people.
Mm-hmm.
You would never, other people would say, what? He wouldn't hit his wife, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, indeed, you find out.
What you don't, yeah. Yeah, it happens, unfortunately. I think people now are better educated. It doesn't mean that it's diminished the problem, but it's people are more aware of the problem and they're perhaps more sensitized to, oh, he always wants to know where I'm going. He doesn't want me to see my parents anymore. So perhaps they're more aware of the flags for this.
Like,
I would hope so anyway.
You know, doesn't want me talking to my sister anymore because whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
We laugh too much. It's just I mean, you just hear things and, you know, think don't make sense, but it's all about control.
Oh, sure.
The whole thing is about control.
Mm-hmm. Who is the president now of the organization? I think you said Betty Moore?
Oh, Elizabeth Morrow is the executive director.
Oh, okay.
She's the, you know, the head employee. She's the director of the program.
Okay.
I think maybe somewhat, if she's not president, she's like Emily Vail, who's a lawyer in Sharon.
I know Emily.
I think maybe she is the president, but I'm not positive. I know she's very involved.
Alrighty. What else would you like to tell us about Wes before we go on?
I think the main thing is that it was just such a shaky beginning back then.
Yeah.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was like, we kept trying to, you know, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and keep going. But it definitely was a challenge. And it's just
But you succeeded amazing. So beautifully.
It's so amazing to. I went to Wes a couple weeks ago to hand in a. They collect old cell phones mm-hmm. with chargers, you know, mm-hmm. that have been emptied of people's private information, because a lot of women don't. I mean, if they had cell phones, they're not, you know, taking them when they leave with their husbands because they know their husbands will know
sure.
they are.
They'll track. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was taking an old cell phone down there and was looking at a list of the program, and it's really amazing what the organization has become.
It's blossomed, hasn't it?
Oh, incredibly. And really a lot of that is due to trade secrets, which
yeah.
I believe was totally Bonnie Williams' idea.
Probably.
And through her creation of it, but also I would say her connections to people.
Oh, yeah.
Of like Martha Stewart. Remember, mm-hmm. you know, Martha Stewart being there, and Whoopi Goldberg, and all these different people. And it's just become an amazing fundraiser. And it's really allowing for a lot of education now.
It's a lot of work, too.
Yeah. It is a lot of work.
Anything that's well done is a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, it takes a lot of volunteers. I mean, this community is so
blessed. Oh, it's special.
By the volunteers we have across every organization.
Oh, yeah. The daycare started at the Methodist Church in the parish rooms, and chore service started with Ella Clark.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on and on. With
Habitat started, like, yeah. John Pug's living room.
Yeah. And Harney T started in their basement of the White House. So it's that kind of a community that somebody gets an idea or sees a need, and people show up,
yeah.
people pledge, they do the bake sales, they do whatever they have to do to make it work.
Yeah.
And we're blessed in this community for so many things.
And I think the other thing, the change about Wes, is that I think in general, women now at least have heard of the issue, mm-hmm. have heard of it happening to other women, if it begins to happen to them, and know that women have gotten out, even with their children, so that there's a way to do it.
Yep.
You just have to get help. What was the...
But there,
Mr. Rogers quote something. He always said, told children, you're in a bad situation, always look for the help. Always go to the helpers. There are helpers somewhere. And I think that a lot of women feel like there's somebody out there now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is quite different.
Which is
from,
special.
Which is quite
special.
Different from...
From what it used to be.
Yeah.
People aren't alone. There's people to help.
And yeah, hopefully there's not as much shame, because there's shame is a big part of it too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Shame, embarrassment.
Yeah,
that's perhaps...
Yeah, there's something wrong with me that somebody beats me.
Oh, we all take upon ourselves, it's my fault.
Yeah. And when you feel that way and someone's telling you, it is all your fault.
And if it's repeated and repeated and repeated, yeah. you begin to believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to stand up against shifting sand.
For sure.
Very definitely.
So it's at least now, I think, especially with all the young education of young people going on,
mm-hmm.
people know about the issue and know that there's help out there now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, you've been involved in the community in many different ways, and I'm not sure that I'm going to get this in the right order,
no.
but tell me about the shop that you ran.
Oh, that was in the 90s. Yeah, I think I started in 93. I had Riga Traders. Just wanted a local
and what,
name.
Where was it located?
It first was located on Academy Street in the building next to the dog grooming place. I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, where...
across from what was the bistro?
Up from the country. That store. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It originally was there, and then as soon as I could, I moved to where the Sweet Williams is now.
Oh.
Kind of Italian.
Yeah, the Eliza Pete building.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I figured and out that was the Eliza Peak building.
What kind of merchandise did you carry?
I first started with mostly handcrafted things, and then I added jewelry. I had a whole room of children's things, picture frames, anything that you would think, pottery, anything that, you know, you might look for a gift for someone.
Did you start the shop, or did you buy it from someone else?
I started it from scratch, yeah.
And how long did you run it?
8 years, I think.
And did you sell it to someone, or?
Tanya Tedder took it over from
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a sweet lady.
Yeah, she took it over from me.
Okay.
And that was 2001. And I think she had it for maybe 5 years. What went in exactly next? But now Sweet Williams has moved over there.
Okay.
And then, let me see, I was involved with visiting different boards, visiting nurses.
Okay. Tell me about the visiting nurses. You were on the board.
Yes. Back then.
When?
I think that was around 2005. To 10, somewhere around there.
And how about how many years were you on that board?
I think it was 2 terms. I don't remember exactly how many years.
And that would be, what, 6 years?
I think so.
And
then the organization I was probably involved with the longest has been Habitat for Humanity.
And are you, or were you on the board in that one?
Oh, yeah. I was on the board, but I did, times, maybe 4 or 5 times I was involved with committees of doing the annual big fundraiser, which for a number of years was a wine tasting. First we did it at some individual homes. I think the first one was at Sally at the corner on Wells Hill. Jabal? Sally Jabal?
Oh, yeah.
Her first one was in her backyard. And I know we did one at the Volstad's house. Out.
Yeah, that's
on 41.
Okay.
They've now moved to the Ragamond. Mm-hmm. The Volstad's.
When were you on the board for Habitat?
Wow.
I know.
Certainly in the 90s.
Okay, that's close enough. And how long were you on the board there?
I think I was on the board there for a couple of terms, and then they would come to me when it was fundraising time to do an event and help with the events.
So you'd help with the funding?
Yeah, the fundraising events.
Mm-hmm. Why Habitat for Humanity? Why did you join that board?
Well, because I felt there was such a need for any kind of affordable housing around here. Especially back then, there wasn't nearly as much.
Yeah, well, it's not as much now. There should be more.
There should be more, but at least the town, you know, Sharon and Salisbury and a lot of the towns have made an effort. You know.
They've made more of an effort,
yeah.
But I keep saying, I'm a teacher on a pension, I couldn't live here.
Right.
If I had to depend upon just my pension. I'm fortunate, I built a house and I'm in my house, but people say, oh, you know, $1,000 rent a month, and it's like, there goes 7/8 of my pension, you know.
Yeah, and a lot, it's hard to find a place around here for $1,000 a month.
I know.
That's shocking.
It's really, really hard, and sometimes people moving in as a retirement community don't realize that you need the young people for the ambulance and the fire department and who's going to mow the lawn and who's going to put in the light bulbs and, you know, that sort of thing. And I've taught in town for 24 years and I've lived here for 50. I've got people that I know because they were in school to me and so forth, but it's really hard. And if you're not a New York person and they're charging New York prices.
Exactly.
Going to the grocery store and
even
looking for a vegetable.
Work in the grocery store.
Oh.
most of them don't live here
no.
in town. They drive from Torrington or, you know, because they can't afford to live here.
And it shouldn't be that expensive, but it is. But it is. You know, we pay for what we've got, I guess. Were you ever on the Housatonic Child Care Board?
No, I worked there. I worked at the daycare center.
Where? When it was on Wells Hill or over on South Hill?
After my store. I worked there a couple of years with the three-year-olds. I guess they hired me because I didn't have a teaching degree, but I had my MSW. So it was long after my children were out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like kids. I worked at the Cornwall Child Care Center for a couple of years first, and then I came up here, and I think the first at least 1 year, maybe two, I was with three-year-olds, and then I even worked in the baby room for a little while.
Oh.
Holding your nose.
Only because it's not my level.
Yeah.
And I interviewed one of the teachers at the Housatonic Daycare Center who was dealing with three-year-olds and under, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. But that's, you know, that's me.
They're loud.
Well, it was nap time, fortunately.
Oh, yeah. But they're always the ones you can't get to nap, though.
Oh, yes. I was one of those.
Getting off their pots, yes.
I was one of those. I was not a good napper. How long did you work with them?
Just a couple of years.
And where were they located at that time? Were they
where they are?
Oh, yeah. All right, okay.
It's fairly recent. I don't know. 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, because it started in the Methodist Church, then it went into Wells Hill, and then it went down to San Miguel.
Right. Yeah. This is
I used to live next door to the daycare center on Wells Hill. That's how I know.
Oh wow.
So. Other things that you've done that you'd like to share?
I can't remember over the years. I was on the Democratic Town Committee at some point for a few years.
A couple of years? Were you on the...
At least.
Okay. Did you ever run for office?
No.
Not
me.
Uh-uh.
I can stand in front of a small group of people and talk about, a topic that I'm well acquainted with. So, no. But I'm glad there are people who do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very glad there are more women doing it nowadays, too.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close?
Not that I can think of. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.